Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We are one day out of the draft, and you know what we're focusing on today. This is the Cave Show. It is a draft extravaganza. We are loaded today. I have a special guest host today, Ashley Neville from NBA Summer League. She's going to guest host this show with me. And what a lineup we have for you. Right Side of the Sun, Dave King is going to hop on at 2:45. Gerald Bourget from Hoops Havoc, 3 o'clock. Suns Debate's very own Kyle Fleeger at 3:15. And my main man, Ed Smith. You know, he played in the NFL, played Major League Baseball. He's going to join us at, well, at 3:30. So this show is loaded. And guess what? I'm giving away a cigar. We are live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, so that will be given away very soon. Again, here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, as you can hear, it is packed as usual. Located on Alma School and Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School to be exact. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. One of the best, and I mean best, cigar selections you're going to get in this valley. You cannot go wrong here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You could also get a locker that backs up to a humidor so you can become a club member, which I highly encourage. I myself have been a club member for the last 7 years. Keeps your sticks fresh. You never have to worry about them going bad at all. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Best part, anytime you come down here, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. We're going to be tweeting like crazy tomorrow, so make sure you're following at PLR on Sports on Twitter and the Sports Cave at the Sports Cave, where Cave is always with the K. That way we keep you up to date and going tomorrow at the NBA draft. Looking forward to this like you would not believe. Today's show, we're going to go through some of the picks, who we think should go where. I'm going to give Gerald Bourget, when he calls in, and Kyle Fleeger an entire Doncic draft deal. So we're definitely going to talk on that. Like I said, we are so draft heavy today. We have the guests coming up to talk. Just, we're talking basketball. We're talking draft. All calls coming in are coming in via the Kerry Lackey Law line. And like I said, this is PLR, and I'm coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And I'm honored and privileged to have, as a guest host with me today, the one, the only. You've seen her everywhere. She is the truth in this game, Ashley Neville. Ashley, thank you for hosting with me today. Welcome on.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, that introduction was everything. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. I can only speak the truth. The one thing that we uphold on this show, we don't sugarcoat. We come with it, and we let people know what's happening.
I like that. I don't sugarcoat either. And I mean, we're both from Chicago, so that's something that we both don't know how to do.
Exactly. We're singing Kumbaya until baseball starts, and then, you know, we go our ways. But then we come back for football and basketball and everything else. But you know, We sing Kumbaya in Chicago. I don't know the words, but I know what it's a saying. Let me throw this call-in number out there real quick, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. We are so draft-heavy today. I know we're going to get into it. There's a bunch of mock drafts out. I know mine is coming out as well. Again, like I said, I'm coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, and the background noise you hear is the ambiance of this place because it is always packed. Get down here, get you a cigar. Tell them PLR sent you. You get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Call number 917-889-7828. I do have a caller ready to hop on with us. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you holding. You got Ashley on the line. You got PLR. This is the Cave Show. Who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Hey, Lou. How you doing today, my friend?
All right. 24 hours, and we'll find out who gets what and who's going to get, you know, who's going to get what's not they're going to get. I'm a little worried about who the Knicks are going to take in this draft. You know, they're coming off a horrible season. So, you know, I'm just hoping they can get somebody that's worth it.
Well, Lou, well, I got some good news for you about the Knicks draft, though.
Yes.
Frank Ntilikina can't be picked again this year.
Yeah, I was always going to do better this year. I mean, last year.
I mean, regardless of who the Knicks pick, you guys still are going to boo because that's just what you guys do up in New York.
Yeah, I know.
You guys did boo Porzingis.
You did. I never forget that.
And he ended up being a pretty good player for you. I think you guys call him the unicorn. So you booed him. So that's what you guys do.
Yeah, I know.
In a perfect world, Lou, who would you like to see the Knicks draft?
Huh, that's a good question. I just can't put my finger on it, though.
Ashley, how do you think Trae Young would fit in New York? I know you're high on him, but if he fell to New York, would you see his personality along with his game being a hit in New York?
I do, actually. You know, watching him a little bit, I wasn't super high on him in terms of his mentality. You know, I felt like under pressure and with so much media attention, I felt like he couldn't handle it. And obviously in New York and places like L.A., New York, they're going to have to be able to handle the hype. I think he's taken time this off season to not just focus on his strength and, you know, building on the court, but also on his mindset. And I do think New York would be a good fit. I mean, I think he can almost go anywhere. I think he's one of the, you know, top guards in this draft, and I think he's going to do great things wherever he lands.
Well, I'd rather have him than the troublemaker from Duke, Grayson Allen.
Well, of course. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, absolutely not. No,
thank you.
Grayson Allen's going to be going somewhere within in the 20s, depending on how his workouts went and everything. But, yeah, no, Trae Young, there's absolutely no comparison whatsoever. I mean, this dude was leading in points and assists this whole season, which has never really been done before. He's pretty much the whole package. He's just got to put on that size.
The one thing, Lou, when you really stop and think about it, you have Porzingis coming back, hopefully at some point next year, if not obviously the year after. I don't honestly think the Knicks are in a rush to bring him back to get wins because I think they're going to accidentally tank just because they don't have him. But you also have a team where your best players right now are Hardaway Jr. and Michael Beasley. So, and no joke about Frank Ntilikina, but they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere fast. And with the Brooklyn Nets attaining Dwight Howard, automatically they're going to be a little bit better just with that move alone, which we'll get into a little bit later. So the Knicks are in no rush to win a lot of games next year. So you have really a blank slate. You can draft someone young. You could draft someone that'd be more of a project, and it actually won't hurt you because you'll have that year to develop them to play alongside Kristaps Porzingis.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we don't know exactly what's going to happen too during this off season, and it's interesting because no matter how bad the Knicks are, you know, the things that we hear about the front office, it's still a place where, you know, free agents or other people want to get traded to, which is very interesting. So, you know, New York is always a good place regardless. So I think we also need to keep in mind, you know, what's going to possibly happen this offseason as well, because they might want to make some moves.
Exactly. Yeah. The only problem they're going to have is, Lou, they're a little bit tight when it comes to players that they have or assets that they have that they could actually move. And at the end of the day, people love New York, but people aren't fond of James Dolan. So I think his front office is going to have to prove that they're doing they're going in that direction and not necessarily going in the direction of the owner, which, you know, it did overpay, you know, one of the best coaches ever to become a GM in a job that he didn't even want in Phil Jackson. But, hell, you keep offering the millions, you keep adding zeros, eventually he was going to take the job. Now, did he do a good job? No. But he did leave you with Porzingis. But the flip side is he left you with Nick Aquina as well. So you have a clean slate. The Knicks should use it and build up their assets and get some talent and not overpay for it. And listen, this isn't me going hard on Hardaway because I like him. But they could have had him for $15 to $20 million cheaper if they would have just re-signed him. So they overpaid for a guy that they already had. So open slate, man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully maybe they'll get, you know, it won't be as long as we think it's going to be. Maybe something will turn up. I mean, because Porzingis, of course, is, you know, too injury-prone.
Actually, would you say he's injury-prone? I would say he's –
I mean, it is just –
No?
You know, he – to be honest, like, I think – everyone gets injured in the NBA. It's just a normal thing. I wouldn't say that it's going to be something to worry about in the future, but I do think him taking the time that he needs to recover properly, I mean, I wouldn't really consider it injury-prone at all. I mean, everyone gets injured. It's normal. So I don't really think that it stands out more so than any other NBA players.
Yeah, but I'm agreeing with that because you have the real deal in Porzingis. I won't say he's, you know, reach that level yet, but he is a very good player, and he's going to do good things for your organization. But, hey, Lou, look, we have another call hopping in, my man. Hopefully I hear from you tomorrow and or Friday as well.
You sure will. All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Hey, all right, buddy. Talk to you soon. That's my man, Lou. He's a good friend of the program, gives us a call just about every day, chimes in on what's going on. Ashley, let me ask you this. And before our first guest hop on with us, we've heard a lot about the Knicks possibly trying to get into the Kawhi Leonard game. If you are San Antonio, does Porzingis have to be involved in that trade? And if he was, would you, if you're San Antonio, do any type of deal that would get you Porzingis and get Kawhi out as opposed to sending him to the Lakers?
Man, why would you trade one injured player for another injured player? Like, that is just the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. I don't even know why the Knicks are even in the mix. They have, to me, I wouldn't even consider trading Kawhi to the Knicks at all. I just don't see it. Why? How that would be possible? And I don't think there, it's just going to be, you know, trade one player for this player. I think there has to be more involved, maybe another team. But this whole Kawhi thing is just really interesting. He clearly wants out of San Antonio. But, you know, what do you do? Do you hang on to him for another year? Because wherever he goes, he's going to leave if it's not Los Angeles. If he's not with the Lakers, he's going to leave wherever he goes after 1 year. And what kind of team is going to want to really take that risk on him? And a team like the Knicks, I mean, they can take that risk, but at the same time, like, why would they trade one injured player for another? To me, it just doesn't make logical sense at all, to be honest.
Here's what I'm looking at, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask Dave or Gerald as well when they hop on. But here's my question about Kawhi and the Lakers. So we know he wants to go to L.A., and so San Antonio wants to try to get something for him if they make the trade, if they can't smooth anything over. So I'm going off the premise that they're not going to smooth it over and he's going to go. But if the Lakers go out and they sign LeBron and they sign Paul George to get their three-headed monster, what they're calling it in L.A., if San Antonio doesn't help them in a trade, fine, you want to go to L.A.? You go to L.A. We're going to keep you here this year. You're under contract with us. You're staying with us. Can the Lakers afford him next year after they max out LeBron and max out Paul George if that's the route they want to go? So basically, can't San Antonio stonewall the Lakers from getting him just by being patient and waiting?
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I don't really think the Spurs are going to give up Kawhi too soon. you know, he still has another year. It wouldn't make sense. The Lakers would absolutely not be able to afford all three of those guys. They're all going to want a max deal, clearly. LeBron, obviously, deserving of one. Kawhi, Paul George, like, those are three stars right there. So I don't really know what San Antonio is. They really have their work cut out for them. And what I find most interesting is that we've never heard this before in the San Antonio Spurs organization where a player does not want to stay there. You know, Popovich has built such a great team, a great organization around him where players want to be coached by him. You know, he's got such a great resume. He's a good coach. He's personable. You know, he's a player's coach. Not super nice to the media, but, you know, it was always a place where players wanted to go. So for Kawhi to lose faith and lose trust kind of has me thinking, like, what's really, you know, going on here? And his players were throwing him under the bus, his teammates. So it's a pretty tough situation. I don't know if he is going to go to the Lakers, if anything's going to work out. I don't know.
We will see. On the Carrie Lackey Law Line right now with us from Bright Side of the Sun, the man himself, the one and only Dave King. Dave, you are in the Cave Show with PLR and Ashley Neville from NBA Summer League. What's up, my man? How you doing?
Oh, hey, how you doing, guys?
What up, Dave? How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, thanks for carving out a piece of your day. We were talking about Kawhi to the Lakers.
Well, nothing against you, Paul, but anytime I can get on the radio with Ashley, I'll do that.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be on here with you guys.
Yeah, we go back a long way, PLR.
I believe it because I've been only chasing him down for 7 years now, and I asked with you on, he agreed in 2 seconds. So I don't take it personal. Whatever it takes.
I had no idea, actually. But
Dave, I got to ask you first off before we talk about any other NBA team. We're here in Phoenix. Is it clear cut because the Doncic team is starting to pick up again? Is it Aiden? Is it Doncic? Why should it be Aiden, or why should it be Doncic?
Well, okay, so here's my take on it. I know I'm not the only take you can have on this, obviously, because there are 1,000 of them every hour on Twitter. But my take on it is that you can't give a guy a better physical profile than DeAndre Ayton for basketball, because not only is he big and huge and he's the size of some of the greats as far as dimensions, but also he has really quick feet. He slides well when he's engaged in the play defensively. He can do some really good things out there. It's him learning how to play the weak side, him learning how to do help side blocks and things like that, that he just doesn't do well because he's never had to in his career. And for even Arizona will admit that they don't teach a ton to these one and dones. You know, in the year that he was at U of A, he did not learn how to be the best power forward in the history of basketball just simply because everyone knew he was a one-and-done, and he wasn't going to get his natural spot as a center because of Ristich being there, and that's just the way that roster was built. Why should Doncic go number one? Doncic is setting records for guys his age amongst his competition. He's doing things that no one's done before. The questions on Doncic is that he does not fit. He fits the dimensions of a prototypical NBA point guard, but he doesn't fit the athleticism or the speed of a typical NBA point guard. And so he's not going to be able to defend any fast guys in the league. So he's going to have to defend down toward the basket. And then he's only 6'8". So he's going to have trouble on the defensive side, but he could be a real savant offensively. We just won't know until we see them in the NBA. But if I'm putting my money down, I'm going to put it on the guy who, when he wakes up in the morning, he's already one of the best basketball players on the planet.
Here's my take on it, and we have Dave King on the Cave Show on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. If Aiden fails, and I know we talked about this before, if Aiden fails, I hate to say big deal, but big deal, because everyone thinks, for the most part, if you take Aiden, you're getting sure thing. It's on him. It didn't work.
Well, PLR, if let me ask Don't, you, what does an Aiden fail look like stat-wise?
Ends up not being able to play. ends up not being able to play defense at all, becomes a liability on the floor, shot doesn't really develop, and doesn't get the strength to play inside 12-5 guy instead of a 19-9 guy.
Yeah, see, I see his minimum being 15-10 and not playing the last 5 minutes in the game. I see his most likely is 20-10 and can play, but he can also be isolated just like the same reasons you play Steph Curry in the closing minutes and he gets isolated on defense, just on the opposite end of the size spectrum.
And that's what I'm saying. So let's just say he does fail, which I don't think he will. No one really says anything because he's not going to fail. But if for whatever reason Doncic's game does not translate to the NBA and you took him number one overall instead of the super talented kid that's large from your own backyard, I think then there's a bigger fallout.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, Ayton's going to go. And, you know, I think another thing that people aren't also taking into consideration, obviously he's the best player in this draft. No two ways about it. Athleticism, his footwork, mobility. He has everything that a team would want. And, you know, obviously the Suns need a guy who's a rebounder, rim protector, whatever. But, you know, he's really good off the pick and roll as well, which is really – he's going to be playing very nicely alongside Devin Booker. But another thing, too, that people are kind of missing is the fact that DeAndre Ayton is so loved in Phoenix and in the whole state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Going to, you know, to Tucson, he is going to be super crucial in terms of building the Suns brand and also helping build the culture that they've been missing out here for so long. And it's something that they really need to build on because, you know, you go to a Suns game and it's not the same type of atmosphere that they have like when you go to a Bulls game or a Lakers game. Even if those teams are horrible, they're still selling out games. And
right.
That's something that the Suns really need to also keep in mind is he's going to be someone that people want to go see. People in Tucson, people in Phoenix, people in LA, like, oh my God, we'll drive all the way out there. We want to go see DeAndre play. And that's something that I think is really big for that organization as well.
Absolutely. He checks so many boxes financially as well as physically and talent-wise, all that. The guy is not going to come out. He's not going to be worst case, somebody could say he's an Enes Kanter who plays no defense but puts up 20-10 if you give him enough minutes. No, Ayton's not going to be like that because Enes Kanter can't move his feet. Ayton can. So he's already going to be better than a guy who got a huge contract, in his second contract off a rookie deal he got a max. Ayton's already way beyond that. He's never going to be that bad. And that's worst case. I mean, best case, he becomes some version of like the Hakeem and the Shaq in terms of marketing and being a personality. He's going to be in commercials. He's going to be so national. The Suns are going to be on national TV games again because of this and the combination with him and Devin Booker. I mean, it's going to be really good. The Suns just have to make that call tomorrow.
I agree with both of you. I'm on Team Ayton. I've made no secrets about it. I just think, though, for all the reasons you both said, he is the can't-miss why you have to take him. And it will worry me if they took Doncic just because, and we're going to have Gerald Bourguet on, and I know he's going to argue the exact opposite.
Yeah, he is.
But if Doncic fails, everyone is in trouble. Because you took a high risk on someone playing the toughest position in the NBA. And, Dave, I'm going to tell you something. I know he's playing at the highest level in Europe. I really do. And I've gotten pushback when I said, you know, whenever I hear there are guys that played in the NBA over there, yeah, but there are guys that didn't play at a high NBA level over there because if they played at a high NBA level, they'd still be playing in the NBA. So I understand all that. And I understand cream rises to the top. But this is a different game. And what problems, Dave, do you think Doncic would run into? And you gave some of them on defense, but what other problems do you think he may run into just learning a point guard game in the NBA right now?
Oh, yeah, he's gonna run into big problems, I think. Like, he'll be able to take smaller opponents off the ball and into the drives and set himself up for a step back. But what if he gets switched on to a big guy who's got some feet? Like, really, I mean, just – I know Doncic fans are not going to like this, but what if he gets switched on to Ayton, okay? Because of a switch that's happened. And Ayton can not only slide his feet to make sure Doncic doesn't drive past him, but can also reach up and deter his famous step back that Luka's done this year that he's shooting 30% on threes, you know, 30-35% on threes with. So I think Doncic has some trouble with the big, huge athletic or even medium-sized athletic guys in the league. And that's all the teams have to do to put a little bit of control on him. I mean, I see him as like maybe, and in terms of marketing, I see him as maybe like a 6'8 version of Goran Dragic in terms of everyone loves him. All the local fans, they'll defend him to the death. Slovenian fans will be all over anybody who says anything negative. But it's not going to be a national thing, and he's not going to see Phoenix as his home. DeAndre Ayton already sees Phoenix as his home. DeAndre Ayton wants to play for the Phoenix Suns. I'd rather have Marvin Bagley, in fact, in some ways over Doncic, because if you're not going to take Ayton, because Bagley wants to be in Phoenix. I'd like a guy who really wants to be in Phoenix before he joins the team. It isn't just being paid by them.
And I love Bagley's game. I think he's another guy who I would even be happy with the Suns taking, and I think he's one of the most the best all-around player that we see in this draft in terms of what he brings on both ends of the court. And the fact, like, you know, played for Duke, put up 21-11 this season. He's very skilled, has a nice jump shot. He can, you know, play on both ends of the court. I really like his game. I'm really high in his game. He was a guy when I was watching this season who I wasn't surprised if he will go number one because I just see the upside of this guy. He has the strength, mm-hmm. the size, and the athleticism. I'm high on him too.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I know there's a bigger bust factor with I just want to say on Marvin Bagley, there's a little bit bigger bust factor with him because he doesn't do anything but, you know, as far as he doesn't get a bunch of steals or a bunch of assists or anything like that. So a little bit of that, unless he develops his long-range shot. But really, I just think he will be a really, really good player in the NBA. And like I said, so any of those three guys will be really good. I just think Ayton's a little bit better.
Dave, I know you have a hard out. I appreciate you hopping on for a little while, and we'll see you Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, definitely for that press conference. I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks again. I appreciate it. And thanks for Ashley coming on to get you on, so next time I know how to get you back on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It was good to have you.
All right. We'll see you Friday. Bye.
All right, buddy. Take care. The one and only Dave King from Bright Side of the Sun joining us here on the Cave Show on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. PLR here with the one, the only Ashley Neville, NBA Summer League. Ashley, before the next guest calls in, I want to ask you, obviously you've seen a lot of these players, you've seen them up close, you followed their careers, you've done your homework, you've done your research. What player other than Bagley or Ayton or Doncic that you are anxious to watch play in Summer League to see what their game really looks like?
Ooh, there's a couple. Mo Bamba, obviously. I've seen him, you know, posting videos, shooting, working on that three-point shot, and it actually looks pretty good. And, you know, when he came to talk with us at the Suns Media, he was talking about changing the mechanics of his shot, and I just think he is not just really good on the court, but his IQ for the game and just his overall ability to – you know, just articulate everything that he's been going through. I just think he's a smart guy. And for his size and everything, too, to be able to knock down a shot like that, I'm really excited to watch him play. And then also, no one's talking about Colin Sexton at all. It's all Trae Young, but Colin Sexton, this whole season, I mean, this guy's just got this dog in him, this competitiveness that I haven't seen from most guys this season where, you know, he just wants to win. He's a fighter. And I actually heard a funny story. Not going to name names, not going to say who I heard it from, but he was at a camp or something with he was playing against someone, and the person he was playing against was just telling me, like, I've never played someone as competitive as him. Like, he just looked like he had, like, death in his eyes. Like, he wanted to attack when he was out there on the court, and that's something that we love to see in the NBA, and I'm just really excited to see that out there. Who are you looking most forward to watching?
I want to see if Michael Porter or what Michael Porter does and see if he can play in a summer league all the way through without having issues with his back or worried about his back. I definitely want to see Zaire Smith play. that's a name you heard me mention before. Kevin Knox is a guy that I'm interested in watching play. And there's a kid, why is his name escaping me? The kid, Dante Defense, I want to mess up his name, DiVincenzo, because he came out of nowhere with Villanova last year, catapulted. I mean, let's be honest. Because of a couple shots in the tournament, he was going to be a sophomore. If those shots didn't go in and he didn't have that game, he's coming back to Villanova.
Oh, for
but,
sure.
But because
Absolutely.
But because of those games, he was able to get to the pre-draft stuff out in Chicago, was able to demonstrate some things that he could do, and now all of a sudden, he's a player. So I'm very interested in what's happening, what I would love to see. We do have on the Kerry Lackey Law line from Hoops Habit, the man himself, the one, the only, Gerald Borgay. I think I'm one of the only people that gets his name right every single time. You are as usual on the Cave Show. Today you got me, PLR, and you got Asher Neville from NBA Summer League. What's up, Gerald? How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Hey, we're doing
great.
We've been waiting for you. Talk us into Doncic. You and I have been having this battle. We even had tweets going back and forth. We've been doing it. Now here's your chance. Sell me why they should leave Ayton out and bring Doncic in.
Well, to put it simply, he is the best player in the draft right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Ayton's ceiling is lower than his. I think they're both really high. But Doncic has that playmaking ability. He's a 6'8 wing who's built like Joe Johnson. He's not the most athletic guy, but his court vision, his ability to manipulate pick and rolls, his shooting, and the way that he can create separation. I mean, he's kind of like an up-and-coming Manu Ginobili or James Harden type who can step back at any point in time, knock down shots. He's got the confidence. He's got the swagger. Like, this kid is going to be good, and he's done things overseas in the EuroLeague that no one his age has done. Not, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, Giannis, Dirk, nobody has done what he's done at this age. He's going to be good. He's the most NBA-ready player, and he'd be a really fun fit with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson, even if they'd have some defensive stuff to figure out moving forward.
After you, Ashley.
Oh, my turn? Well, you know I'm high on DeAndre Ayton, and, you know, I'm going to give credit where it's due. Luka's been doing things that we haven't seen, and he's a star out there. He's a stud. I think I remember, Paul, I think when I was talking to you about this, we went through a list of guys who came from overseas, who are worthy of, you know, their stars in the league, obviously. And none of them were guards who we would consider people to draft number one. Not saying that Luka is the same as them. Obviously, he is deserving to be right up there in the top, you know, top three discussion, one, two, or three. But I'm high on DeAndre. And it's not just because I went to U of A. I mean, that plays a factor in it. But as I said before, it's the fact that this guy has so much strength and size and a frame that he can compete at the NBA level right away. We kind of know what we're going to get from him. And he is a competitor, his athleticism, and he's pretty efficient too. So Pac-12 Player of the Year and Pac-12 Rookie of the Year. So he's a guy that's very deserving to me to go number one.
Yeah, what
you
said. Your turn.
You know, he absolutely is. And I think it's worth noting that for Ayton and for Doncic and probably for guys like Bamba and Jaren Jackson Jr., like, I feel like this is a draft where all of these guys are going to be really good. It's just a matter of figuring out which one is going to be the best out of an elite group. I think Ayton, I mean, he's just a physical monster. He's got range on his jump shot. He's got good touch. And he does have the tools to improve on the defensive end, which is where, like, his biggest shortcomings lie right now. The thing with Ayton that worries me is it just didn't always seem to be there for him, whether it was a lack of awareness on that end or just a lack of interest. it kind of waned in and out. And he was also played out of position, to his credit. He played a lot of four at U of A.
True.
So that'll be different at the next level. And I think people need to recognize that as well. But I just look at the way that the NBA is going, and if you look at the teams that were in the conference finals, like none of them had a dominant seven-footer or a unicorn. And that's not to say that these guys like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, Kristaps, Giannis aren't going to bring that position back. And Ayton could certainly be part of that revival. But it is worth noting that right now, like wing depth, shooting, positional versatility, being able to switch on the perimeter, those are the things that make the league's best teams as great as they are right now. Here's my question for you. Philadelphia, they have Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
They are touted at being the next up and coming, but they don't switch everything. They do go through a big man. Could Phoenix look at having that same success with Ayton doing what Embiid is doing in Philly?
They could, as long as Ayton's footwork on the defensive end mirrors Embiid's. Because the Sixers don't switch everything, but they do have a group of elite defenders, and Embiid is the anchor of that. I mean, he's a good rim protector. He can relatively hold his own if he is switched out on the perimeter. Ayton doesn't have those skills, nor does he project to have the skills at this point that Embiid did when he was in the same, you know, point in the draft process. So I don't think Ayton will ever be the defensive stopper that Embiid can be. But, you know, if he's passable on that end, then obviously his offensive talents will still make him a plus out there.
The man from Hoops Habit, the one, the only, Gerald Bourget, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR and Ashley Neville. Gerald, what player is going to be drafted, and next year we're going to look up and we're going to say, dang, we did not know he was that good. Why didn't we take him? And I don't mean the Suns. I mean a team that passes him by maybe 8, 9, 10, 11. Who's that guy?
You know, honestly, I feel like he's probably still going to go top five, but I'm still leaning towards Mo Bamba on a question like that. I was really impressed with him when he came in. Just, you know, you can't obviously tell a player is going to be great just based on the way that they speak or the way that they carry themselves in front of the media. But Bamba was specifically intelligent as far as being able to, like, fine-tune and, like, pinpoint the parts of his shot, like the angle with his elbow and the point of his release, like to the degree, just the way that he's tweaking his shot and everything like that. You can tell that this kid is exceptionally smart and knows what he needs to work on, knows how specifically he needs to get there with his jump shot. And you know, you just can't teach a 7'10 wingspan or however many blocks per game he averaged at Texas. Like, he's going to be a defensive anchor. He's going to be very good. At worst, he'll be like a Clint Capella rim-running type on offense, and at best, he could be, you know, Rudy Gobert with three-point range. So that's a really scary combination, and again, I don't think he'll fall to that 9-10 range, but even, you know, falling to 5 or 6, I feel like some teams could regret passing on him at that point.
I would actually agree with that. I mean, I've been very high on this guy during this whole, you know, process, and like you just said, how he spoke, how he carries himself to the media, you know, he's very smart. And another thing that I also read that I thought was really interesting is the fact that he didn't hire, you know, an agent through this process because he's, you know, he's big on building relationships, didn't want to burn any bridges, and I just thought that was pretty cool that he's just trying to enjoy this process on his own right now, and he's not trying to get so caught up in all that other stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he's taken, you know, a chance on himself, and I just feel that this guy is really putting in the work and the effort to not just be really good on the floor, but also to be really good off the floor. And I just think it says a lot about his character.
So Gerald, let me ask you this. Devin Booker is going into year four. Dragan Bender's there. Jackson's there. You're going to have Tyler Ulis. You have a pick at 16. You have a pick at 31. You have Marquise Chris. You have a whole lot of young guys on this team. It is impossible in the NBA to develop that many young players at one time. What young player or players
do you think will be gone by the time we start the season for the Suns?
You know, I think it kind of depends on what happens tomorrow night. The Suns are probably going to pick Ayton. That would be my guess right now at number one. And then at that point, they'll need a point guard of some sort. They could look at someone like Marcus Smart or maybe Avery Bradley in free agency. Or they could try and package like the number 16 and the number 31 with one of those young players and try and get someone like Kemba Walker. And in that case, it'd be a matter of who the established player they're trying to trade for, you know, what young player they'd want from the Suns. I would guess one of Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender would be gone in that case. You know, their value isn't particularly high right now, but they're both really young still. And that should entice a team if you include, you know, two picks that are basically first rounders in this year's draft, especially for a team like Charlotte that just made that kind of head-scratching Dwight Howard move today. They could be looking, to put it kindly, they could be looking at blowing it up soon. So if that's the case, Kemba Walker's name will probably come up in trade talks tomorrow night. But yeah, I would definitely guess, I'd have to guess one of those Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender could be gone by the time the season starts.
What did Dwight Howard do to Mitch Kupchak? I mean, is he still mad about L.A.? Is he still that pissed off? I was like, hey,
either
here's
that
the new boss, Mitch Kupchak. You're gone, buddy.
Either that or Mitch Kupchak really just loves Mozgov, man.
So, because there is another year. They get an extra year of that horrendous contract that Mitch Kupchak played with him. I saw that trade, and I thought I was drinking this morning when I woke up and misread it, but...
It's really
he
just
something.
About dodging the luxury tax. That's it.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's it. Oh, well, hey, it's not our money to spend. Last question for you. Do you think Bender or Chris will develop, or let me rephrase that, which one of those guys, let's say Ayton is drafted, do you think will develop faster with Ayton and be more of a compliment to him?
I would. I mean, if the Suns want this to work out well, they better hope it's Bender, just because he has some of that defensive versatility that you need in a big man. He's obviously not, if he's playing with Ayton, he's not obviously not going to be a five, but and he's probably not strong enough still to be a five, but they need somebody who can cover for some of his shortcomings on the defensive end, especially, you know, as he's adjusting to the NBA level. Bender projects to be able to do that better. He's a better, you know, guard. He can defend better on the perimeter than Chris can. And Chris is still kind of lost from time to time on that end. But, you know, from an athleticism standpoint, Chris and Ayton would be a lot of fun together. I'm just not sure that Chris has the three-point range or the defensive ability to prevent a Suns back or front court of those two from giving up, you know, 130 points a night.
I hear you. Hey, my man, I appreciate you hopping on with us today, and see you tomorrow for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, buddy, I appreciate it. The
Take
one,
care,
the only Gerald Bourguet, Hoops Habit. Actually, he laid it out. He laid out why they should take Doncic. Probably one of the better arguments that I've heard so far. What do you think?
Regardless of what I think, I still say DeAndre Ayton, but I'm still going to say DeAndre Ayton.
you know, yeah. Let me translate
you can't,
that.
You can't
you
persuade
said,
me other ways.
I like the way you said that. So here's what you said. You said, either way, I think I would still lean towards Ayton. That's what you said. What I heard was, yeah. I don't give a good god dang what anybody says. I'm team Ayton all the way. I don't care who
you know,
an astronaut
nice.
Could call me.
I got to be nice here. I have to be nice. I mean, it could be Michael Jordan telling me why Luka should go first, and I'm just going to look at him and say, sorry, bro, I disagree. I respectfully disagree on that.
Well, I'm going to give you some warning. Kyle Flieger from Suns Debate, been covering the Suns for a while, is so far on Doncic, I think he offered his house
to Dodger to live there until he found housing, and he's going to be calling in shortly. I want you to talk about this deal real quick. Dwight Howard to Brooklyn, obviously, you know, if for no reason, capitally. But how is Timothy Motzgave still in the NBA getting run? Moskov, I'm sorry, getting run. How?
Your answer is just as good as mine. And what I think it says a little bit more about Dwight Howard than it does about him. I don't know what it is about Dwight, but I just feel like a lot of teams, regardless of what he brings, don't want him on their team for whatever reason. I've never been high on Timothy Mozgov. I don't know why they got rid of Dwight Howard, but as you mentioned, it could have been because of the salary cap. It could have been, you know, other reasons, but there might be something going on in the locker room too that we don't know of as well.
Crazy. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line from Suns Debate. Hanging out with us for a little while, the one, the only Kyle Fleeger. We know him affectionately as Fleegs. He also is, I don't know, Ashley, if you saw the Star Wars series, but when Bender looked up at Fleeger, he said, "I am your father. Trust your feelings. Dig deep." That's how much on the Bender wagon he is. He even took the deep breaths, and you hear the "I am your father." He is with Sun Debate. He is on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here in the K with PLR. Ashley Neville from NBA Summer League. Fleegs, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm so excited for the Suns to have their first ever number one pick.
So are you going to be as happy at 444 when they say 7'1", 250 pounds out of that school down there? That was for you, Ashley. Out of that school down there, DeAndre Ayton, will you be as happy?
I will. Look, I root for a jersey. I root for laundry, right? So for me, I'm going to be 100% all in on Ayton the moment they Suns select him. But until that moment, you're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming to that decision, because I am not in the same camp as most, I guess, Suns fans. I don't think the Suns should draft Ayton. And, you know, I've got a lot of reasons for you, but the main one is that I think that they're passing up on a guy who's bound to be a top 10 player in the league.
Ashley, that silence means I'm throwing it to you.
Oh, are you throwing it to me? Well, I kind of wanted to ask a question of why.
So
why is he a top 10 player
question
in the league? Yeah, simple question.
Yeah, Doncic in particular, there's a few things I really like about him. I love that he's been around basketball. I think we've seen a lot of players succeed having come from good basketball backgrounds. I think the Curry, Thompson, Al Horford and his dad, Tito, I think we've had a long line of players where you can see that when it gets them on the court that they end up being good on both sides of the ball because they have a high basketball IQ by being immersed in the game since his father was a professional when he was a little boy. And so I see those same images of him at the courts growing up with a professional athlete dad as you see Steph dribbling on the courts when he's a little kid. And that makes me excited, but that's not enough, right? Then you look at his ability in the pick and roll, which is something that if we watched the conference finals or NBA finals, almost every single possession was players involving one another somehow in a pick and roll with movement to some degree. And Doncic's passing ability and his ability to run this style of offense is tailor-made for the NBA today. And then you put him at 6'8", his kind of helps compensate for his lack of athleticism. He's not as bad of an athlete as I think people make him out to be, because he has played 80 games this season, but he is not a great athlete. DeAndre Ayton is the epitome of athleticism. I mean, he is the athlete. So comparatively, Doncic has a lot to be desired. But his 6'8 size at that position, I think, allows him the versatility to come off screens and be kind of that player that you see all the time. What makes the Warriors so valuable is that Steph can come off screens, Clay can come off screens, KD can come off screens, but they can also be a primary ball handler. And that's where I get concerns about Ayton, is can he be a primary ball handler, or is he just going to settle for the same shots that he seems to like, the kind of mid-range game that we've kind of seen die off from the NBA over the last few years.
Let me ask you this. You said, and is that, and he's going to be a point guard, the hardest position in the NBA to come into and play. Don't you have concerns, though, while he's learning that position, he's getting worked on the defensive end by athletic point guards like a Westbrook or a guy that can move nonstop like a Curry or a James Harden who can set him up for a step back? And I'm just using those three when it's a point guard athletic heavy league. Doesn't that concern you at all?
Certainly. Of course it concerns me. And to be honest, I think whether it's Ayton or Doncic, I think that both of their biggest weaknesses are on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that we hope that they're going to – the question is one of them more likely to develop the ability to be a defender who can switch and be multiple and versatile when it comes to guarding people? And certainly right off the bat – I mean, who doesn't have trouble guarding James Harden and Steph Curry, right? And Russell Westbrook. I mean, those are the three most elite get to the basket or create your own shot players in the NBA. And so they're going to be, or at least three of, you know, maybe the top 10. And so they're always going to be hard to guard. But I do think that Luka is so smart with the basketball that he understands the positioning of how to play the defense. And certainly his IQ, he's not in the best shape of his career, but I think he can get in better shape. Whereas DeAndre Ayton is already a physical marvel, is he really going to be able to develop the mental side of the game on defense, or is that going to be something that will always be his second fiddle to his offensive interest?
I defer to Ashley on that. You've seen him play more than I have from you know, you going to school down there and knowing him and watching him. What's your comeback to that?
Well, in, you know, DeAndre's defense, you know, he didn't, to me, I don't think he always got the ball when he wanted it. I also don't think they played him at the position that he is built for. However, I do think he did have experience playing, you know, a position that maybe was a little bit outside of his comfort. But I think he can learn that defensive side of the ball. I think, you know, like you said, he's already built and made for the NBA. He can come in right now and he can play and he can compete against some of the best. And as you said, Luka is going to probably need a little bit of time to mold, to gel, to figure things out. And, like, you know, the point guard position is one of the hardest positions because you're literally the floor general. You're literally controlling what's going on the floor. And as you're mentioning, you know, he's good with the, you know, on pick and rolls, and but so is DeAndre Ayton. And I know that he provides many options off the pick and roll. He can set screens and rescreen, and then he has a high IQ for the game. I personally think DeAndre has a tool for every situation possible out there on the floor. And I do think him and Devin Booker are going to play great together.
Yeah, and honestly, I think Ayton, the Suns kind of have an embarrassment of riches, but it's also a big concern because when you're drafting, let's use Dwight Howard as an example. Dwight Howard has been a guy who, for whatever reason, his tools, his athleticism, has never been in question. And he's even been Defensive Player of the Year, and I don't believe he ever won an MVP, but certainly – you know, he's been a multi-time All-Star. He's been to the NBA Finals. He's a guy who's anchored a team that was successful. And I think that with Dwight Howard, you guys were talking when I came on kind of about we don't know what's wrong with Dwight Howard, but he keeps moving team to team to team. And my concern is that some of these guys that are more enigmatic, that they don't necessarily want to work on one side of their game or think they're better than they are at one thing, could be a major concern. Now, Luka, as far as coming in, the one question I don't have is he going to be successful offensively right away? Guarding people, certainly, guarding the Steph Currys, the James Hardens of the world, if he ever gets good enough to guard them, which not very many players are, but if he ever gets good enough to guard them, he's going to be dynamic right away offensively because, first of all, he creates his own shot, which is really cool to watch because it's more of in the same fashion that you see James Harden, Steph Curry, and some of these other point guards. He shoots a really great step-back three. And then also you've got this guy who's played professionally for the last 3 years, both internationally against competition where they won the gold medal. They just won the Spanish League, and they won the Euro League where he was MVP at 19 years old. Now, if you look at the opposing team, every single person on the opposing team either played in the NBA or NCAA in the starting five. So he's playing against competition that has already been through the NCAA, has been to the NBA, and is better now because – if we think that the 28-year-olds that have been in the NCAA and been through the NBA are worse than the 18-year-olds playing in the Pac-12, that's where I start to disagree. So I think he's more tested. I think he'll come in and make an impact on the offensive side of the ball right away. And him next to Booker is devastating. I mean, having those two guys being able to play off each other, both of whom can handle the ball, both of whom can run a pick and roll, both of whom can shoot and create a shot if they need to, that's a pretty dynamic backcourt. But, of course, I can see the value of having Booker and Ayton in the pick and roll together. So,
on the Kerry Lackey Law line here on the Cave Show, the one only Fleegs from Suns Debate on with PLR and Ashley Neville from NBA Summer League. How long does this Bender project go on, Fleegs? And I'm not being facetious on this one. And I'm being honest here. His game and Marquese Chriss' game looked like it regressed last year. It didn't get better. How long do they hold on to either or both of them? And what's the time limit now?
I don't think if your model is you're drafting the youngest player in the draft every year that you can be impatient with development. I think giving Igor a chance to come in and actually develop players, which we apparently, I mean, obviously the reputation for him around the league is he's phenomenal at player development. The young guys who worked with him in Utah have nothing but wonderful things to say about him, right? So hopefully, theoretically, he'll be able to make an impact on those guys and get a little bit more development, or at least you'll see what they're not going to develop, and then you have a better idea of really what their ceiling is. Now, I have different feelings on Bender and Chris. I feel like Chris's issue is similar to the same problem that we've seen with previous athletic power forwards, which is he's kind of a tweener. He doesn't know exactly where he wants to play on the floor. He plays on the perimeter. He darts around. He has bad shot selection, bad defensive rotation. He's just not thinking the game. But like Ashley said earlier, that's something that could potentially be learned or taught. So you don't want to give up on him too soon. And then with Bender showed me more than Chris last year in development. You can make fun of him by the raw stats, but if you look at the end of the year, Bender is a high-level passer. He thinks about the game clearly. He passes the ball really well for his position, and he's going to get bigger. He's a skinny guy who came into the league really undersized, as opposed to Ayton, who's coming in with that physical dominance and maybe needs to develop the other side. So if everyone's right and we draft Ayton, I think he's a perfect player to pair with Bender, because the two of them offset each other's strengths and weaknesses. Ayton can be more physically dominating, while Bender can stretch the floor. He's a more willing passer. He can extend to the three-point line and let Ayton do his thing inside the block. Or you can have Ayton stretch the floor. He has nimble feet. He can bring his guy out, and you can have Bender work inside because he does truly have 7-1 size. And so if they can learn from each other, that could be a really neat duo that you have and a tandem that you have anchoring the five position, because Ashley made a really good point. Ayton was played out of position at the four all year, right? The same problem I have with Bender. For most of the year, he was played out of position at power forward. With him transitioning to center and them staggering their minutes at center and playing DeAndre 30 minutes at center and, Bender 18, 20 minutes at center and then 15, 20 minutes at power forward, I think you'll get a lot more production out of both of them. And hopefully that helps them kind of settle into their roles defensively and offensively. I mean, that's the hope, right?
That's
well,
the hope.
I do think you make a good point in the sense that we need to give these guys a little bit more time, you know, because when you're in a position where there's a lot of dysfunction going on in the front office and, people aren't necessarily getting along or coaches, the coaching staff's consistently changing, it makes it hard for, a player to see anything consistent. And I know that you shouldn't let all the outside distractions get in the way, but it really does, because when you come into this league, you want to get better. That's the goal, is to get better, to win championships, to make money, and to do the best that you can, not just for yourself, but for your team. So if you're not going to give these guys, a chance to grow with a good organization, it's kind of hard, to tell exactly if they could have been better. And we've seen this before where certain players are put in situations where they aren't able to showcase their true abilities or how good they are. And then once they get traded to a different team or they're able to truly shine with a different organization, you really get to see, okay, this guy had that potential. He had that it factor. But when you're not put in the right fit or situation, it's really hard to tell. So like you said, I totally agree that we need to give these guys a little bit more of a chance before we're going to be, sending them off to a new team.
90 seconds, because I know you got a hard out. Answer this for me, though. Time is a beautiful thing to have, but when you've missed a playoff 7 years in a row, time isn't something that you have. You have to show that you're making progress to either make the playoffs or make the playoffs the following season. And when you have as many young as the Suns have, and now, yes, maybe you now have a coach that can develop them. You can't develop them all in that short amount of time. Who is the odd man out? Because you know there's going to be one if the Suns are going to progress, because time isn't their friend.
I think they're going to make a trade that includes Marquese Chris on draft day. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to package Chris with 16 to move up, along with maybe a future pick, a Miami pick, and 16 to move up. The ideal crazy diehard Suns fan, fanboy fiction dream world is that the Suns draft 8-1 and then trade up to get into Luka Doncic at 4, right? And if the Suns can put Booker, Doncic, Jackson, and Ayton on a floor together, I think everyone will sit quietly and happily in Phoenix. Now, if not, I think they've got 2 more years. I don't think anybody expects them to make the playoffs this season with Ayton as a number one pick. I think next year is the year that people are going to demand a playoff run, and if they don't have it, you're going to see everybody cleaning out.
And Devin Booker certainly won't be happy.
No,
yeah,
no. Hey, but hey, listen, man, I appreciate it. We'll have to talk after the draft for sure to see how everything wound up. And be nice on Twitter. You're kind of harsh on me on Twitter. You're a panel.
I'm
right. You make me make that. You're trolling me
on
the. Well, no, you know, either which one don't I like, European or white? I can't answer that on Twitter. What if I put both? I'm done. All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate it, my man.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up. Hey, Ash, this train is not stopping on the line
okay.
with us now. The one, the only. Okay, so let me tell you about my man, Ed Smith. Here. So this is a guy that was playing Major League Baseball, right? And and you're going to say, wow, you know, Major League Baseball, here's a dude that's talented. Well, you know what? He decided that to hell with this, I'm going to go play professional football. And he ended up going to play pro football, went to the Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds, did that, turned his career into a good NFL career. Then what
wow.
he never tells anyone is that he was an all-state basketball player on the East Coast too. So he is truly
wow.
the athlete. And to get him on the show, usually I have to send like helicopters, the rose petals from Coming to America, all that stuff
oh
I have
my
to
God.
Do. So just
extra.
To get him
so
on. And he has the best talk show on Easy Sports Talk on 1060 in Phoenix every Saturday. So I got you and him. I got Dave King earlier. I think all this, Ashley, is because you're on the show today. My man, my brother on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Ed Smith. What's up, man?
You are officially hired as my PR man. From this point forward, Paul. I appreciate the warm welcome, man. You know I always enjoy spending time with you, man.
well, you
hey,
got you got
how
Ashley with
you?
Us. Ashley's from NBA
Ashley?
Summer League.
Well, very nice. Nice to meet you,
yes,
Ashley.
I wanted to ask you: is there anything you can't do? Is there any skills that you might not be so good at? I mean,
I'm
like a
modest
a
man, so I. Yeah, I just try to do the best I can with the what good Lord gave me. That's all.
I respect that.
No, that was humble as hell. He's the man. Trust me.
I do appreciate the plug on the show, though. You know how it is, Paul. We get out there every week and just try to do our best, man.
Ain't that the truth?
It is.
At the Suns, we've been talking hoops, we've been talking basketball, we've been talking Suns. True or false is the easiest question you're going to get all day. The Suns can't screw this up, can they?
No, they can't. I mean, they've got – the great thing is they're sitting there at the one spot and you got three great options. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, I guess preference. And but you know, with those players at the top, nobody would argue with whichever one they made. So, you know, for me, I've been saying the last few weeks, the biggest thing they have to do is turn that number 16 pick into a great find, and then to tack on that, once free agency starts, you have to get some quality veterans in there to lead that young talent. But as far as being there in the number one spot, I'm sure they're listening to a lot of calls, and you know, but they'd be crazy to trade out of it. You've got a franchise player sitting there. It's just a matter of preference in terms of the direction you want to go.
You know, Ed, there was earlier
silence. Oh, that never mind. Go ahead.
No, Ashley, please, go for it.
Oh, no, I was just going to add on to the fact that, you know, using that 16 pick as a find for a good got, you know, a good addition to that team. And what I wanted to mention before is the fact that there are a lot of really good guards in this draft this year. So even if they do pass up, you know, on Doncic or, you know, some of the other big guys that are going early, there are still a lot of other, you know, talented guards who would be a great fit with Phoenix. So I think the fact that they do have, you know, three picks, they have the first, 16th and 31. I mean, they're bound to land some very talented guys.
I'm 100% agreement in that. I wouldn't be sad if they held that pick, because what I don't want the Suns to do is to feel they have to package that 16 with the future pick to get someone that's not going to fit schematically with what they want to do. And if they had to take an Aaron Holiday, that wouldn't necessarily depress me, because I think he would end up being a good fit. My question is, what do they do with all these guards? Because Brandon Knight is still under contract. They still have a decision to make on Elfrid Payton. They still have Tyler Ulis sitting, coming off the bench. They still have guys with question marks on this team.
Yep.
Ed, what would you like to see them do? Go with another young guy? Give Brandon Knight an opportunity as first guy. What direction do you like for them to go in?
I like them holding, you know, obviously make that first pick, settle with that. And then from there, I'd like to see them, like you said, I don't want them giving away futures. You know, that's where they always, you started the conversation by asking me, can they mess this up? I think they could mess it up by doing like a big package and giving away too much to move up, you know, because like you were both saying earlier, I'm not necessarily sure this coming season is not a playoff season, especially in the West. So don't rush, like, you know, it's not microwave. This is something you're going to bake and let mature over time. So with that 16 pick, and just like Ashley said, there's plenty of guards out there. The biggest thing for me is you got to find the one that fits the system that you're going to run. And that could be a list of names. So for me, sit tight at 16 unless somebody knocks your socks off, and maybe move up a spot or two, but don't give away the farm. Add that young talent, you know, the additional piece with the guard position, and then, you know, if someone wants to entertain that 31st pick, that's fine. But, you know, I think they're sitting in a great spot. You know, we all know that it's going to go, hey, everybody always predicts, you got all these mock drafts and that, everything out there. The second the draft starts, somebody's going to make a crazy pick at the top, then everything goes haywire after that, just like the NFL draft. And then it's a mad scramble. If they go in with a dedicated plan rather than just kind of shooting from the hip, I think they'll be okay. So, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I'm hoping they hold tight and don't try to rush the process. I don't want to steal from the Sixers with that trust the process stuff, but, you know, hopefully they've got a plan in place and they stick with it and go from there.
Ashley, what do they do with Brandon Knight?
Ooh. They're kind of stuck right now. Like you were saying, that they have all these guards that, to me, are underproducing. And no offense, a guy like Tyler Ulis, question mark from the start with him, undersized and hasn't really produced. Brandon Knight, I'm not high on him either. So they need to figure out a way, in my opinion, to get rid of these guys and just start building from the ground up.
Don't you find it amazing? And Ed, I'm going to ask you, coming from playing in a league, have you ever played with someone like a Brandon Knight. And in that, I mean, here's a guy that's 25, 26 in that ballpark, really talented, a talented guy, but didn't last in Detroit, got to Milwaukee, and got traded away. And Jason Kidd said on his way out the door, we traded because we need a young, up-and-coming point guard to lead this team. And at the time, he was only 22 years old. So that's a shot, a backhanded shot. Then he comes here, and before he got hurt, it was really Bledsoe's job. And then Booker came in, so he couldn't really slide to the two. He didn't like coming off the bench. In fact, he straight up said, I'm not coming off the bench. I'm a starter. And then when he came off the bench, instead of turning his career into a Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams, he basically pouted till he got hurt. Have you ever played with an athlete from football or baseball that was so good, but no one wanted him because his ego got in the way of what he could actually accomplish?
Yeah, I played with several of them, Paul. You know, it's the typical bad apple, you know, in the bunch, and it can destroy the rest of them. And this is going to follow him, you know, throughout his career. You know, he's kind of setting a bad precedent in terms of, you know, sometimes we have to accept our roles. And the biggest problem with athletes a lot of time is the ego gets in the way, you know, from the time, especially with this new generation. These guys are young, they've been told they're so great their entire careers. They, you know, quick stops in college where everybody's appeasing them. Then they get to the league and find out that everybody's got just as much talent, if not more, than you. And if you're not willing to put the work in and sometimes take that back seat and accept your role, that just leads to exactly what we're seeing from him. And it's not going to be long before they're putting a package together to either get him out of here or he just falls out of the league. But that's so common in sports. You know, for me, when I was playing football, I knew my role. I was a dude that had to get out there and grit and grind. And, you know, I wasn't going to be somebody who's going to be running my mouth too much. But like I said, with these superstars, or at least superstars in their own mind, it's hard to tell them until it's too late sometimes.
Ashley, is he tradable? Is he considered an asset right now?
No, that's the simple answer. No, I don't know any other team that would really want to take him. I mean, you would have to offer, like you guys said, a pretty big package. And I don't even know if the Suns really have that many guys who are assets. I mean, when you look at it, you know, when you got Brandon Knight, you got Tyler Ulis, Marquise Chris, and a couple other guys. I got Peyton, and we got Cannon. So there's a lot of guards on this team. They're pretty guard heavy, where we haven't really seen enough for them to even be considered guys who teams would actually be willing to trade for.
I got one for you, Paul, and I don't mean to be silly and mess up your show, but they need to get rid of all of them and bring Joel Berry in here.
Ash, let me go ahead and tell you this real quick, okay? Ed is UNC to the core. To the core. So that's where you're getting that Joel Berry love from, because Joel Berry is a smart winner. He is. But you know who he reminds me of? And this isn't being facetious. Kendall Marshall. Both lefties, both went to UNC. Both were very smart. I think Kendall was a much better passer than Joel Berry, but they're both winners. But their game and their speed, and their, especially Kendall Marshall's shot, and it's coming from someone who likes Kendall a lot. As a person, I just don't think that they're NBA-level players. I think Joel Berry is a G League guy who will get 10-day contracts or maybe get a season deal after a 10-day contract to push players in practice and lend his IQ. I think he's a European player, but bro, I don't think he's an NBA guy. Ashley, what are your thoughts? You were there when he was there.
Wait, with who? Sorry, I got distracted. What were you with who?
I said Joel Berry from UNC.
Oh, I wasn't at UNC. I was at Arizona.
No, at the Suns draft day workout. Weren't you there when he worked out for the Suns?
I was not there, no.
Oh, you weren't at that one, okay.
So I didn't know.
You know, I'm just being facetious, though, Paul.
You weren't.
I know where he's
No, you weren't, because that's your guy.
I wasn't
and
there.
You know it. You know it, and that's your guy. No, but you know what, though? Here's what I thought was unfair, and I do stick by this, and I think I told you this. Joel Berry comes in for a workout. And after his workout, he got asked a couple questions about himself. Then all his questions went to Marvin Bagley. What was the last man against him? How talented was he? If I were him, and he's such a mannerable young man, I would have said, what the hell? Y'all want to talk to Bagley? Call him. There's my workout. I'm trying to get in the league. The hell are you asking me about Marvin? I didn't even go to Duke. I went to North Carolina. Call Duke.
Well,
call
you know,
Coach K.
You know, it had to be very hard for him to answer those questions, too, because of the rivalry. So, but, you know, like I said, I'm just joking around a little bit. But, you know, you know how I ride, man. I ride with my Tar Heels, ride or die.
And I'm riding hard for the Suns to draft a guy from that school down south. So you tell me what this world is coming to. I'm so in on Aiden. It's crazy. You haven't heard me ever in my life say anything positive about Tucson, and I'm all in on Aiden. So you know the world is changing.
Yeah, I know those words are. They got to be tough coming out of your mouth, man.
Man, it's like drinking a ton of Pepto Bismol with no chaser, just taking it straight. but I'm all in. I'm all in on Aiden. I think he's super talented. Bro, tell me about your show. Yeah.
Well, can I ask you a quick question? You know, because I've been listening to all the reports, and obviously he's consensus number one, but they keep talking about his lack of defensive presence. Does that scare you at all?
I'm going to let Ashley answer that one.
With DeAndre?
Yeah, about his defense.
It does concern me a little bit. Then again, I feel like there are a lot of guys who aren't amazing on the defensive end. I mean, we saw this in the NBA in the playoffs, like some of the high scoring games. I mean, we weren't seeing a ton of defense anyway. So I feel like it's something that a lot of players do lack. And I think it's something that can be taught. But again, you know, I also think DeAndre wasn't. I don't want to say super happy with the position he was playing at Arizona. And I know a lot of people were saying, oh, the lack of interest. You know, he probably just wasn't, you know, super happy there. And the lack of, you know, communication and play, I think, amongst the people he was playing with also stood out to me a lot, too. So I think there, you know, he's going to learn to play defense. I don't think it's, to me, I'm not really concerned at all. I think if he really wants to play defense, he can. I mean, we see what he could do on the offensive end. There's no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to play both sides of the floor.
Ed, let me
I'm
ask
in
you
agreement
question.
With that answer, too.
Ed, let me ask you, tell me the last player that was the number one draft pick where they talked about his defense overshadowing his offense, and that's why they were drafting him. It's always the other way because they know 19-year-old kids aren't asked to play defense in college. So you can't think of a player that say, well, he's the best defender in this draft and we'll teach him how to play offense. Let's take him number one.
No,
you never hear
not.
That.
No, you don't.
No, yeah, absolutely. And to stamp what Ashley said, defense is all about attitude. And they can correct that. You know, just have to get him to work a little harder on that side of the court. But obviously with that offensive talent, you can't overlook that. And like you said, nobody's touting defense at that level.
Nope.
And you look
not
at it,
even.
Too, in the NBA, it's like you see where the game is going now. You want guys who are able to score. You want guys who are able to shoot. You want guys who are able to produce quality offense, and that's the name of the game. I mean, that's how you have to win. So, yeah, defense is important, but as we were mentioning and talking about earlier, is with some of these guards, like the Steph Currys and the James Hardens and the Westbrooks of the world, they're hard to defend regardless of how good of a defender you are. I mean, these guys can literally hit shots contested. They could be double-teamed, and we see these kinds of shots that Steph Curry's hitting. They're unbelievable. So regardless of how good of a defensive player you are, you're going to have to match some of these guys on offense. And to me, that's the most important part of the game right now.
I'm agreed. Ed, tell them where they can get your show at.
Every Saturday morning from 10 to noon on NBC Sports Radio, 1060 AM. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Ed Smith Speaks. And the website is edsmithspeaks.com. Appreciate you, Brother Paul, always, man.
Hey, so before you go, I got to ask you this. So you're in your car, and your cassette's old school. Your cassette's about to melt, right? and you got two of them. Only one of them can melt because one of them's got to melt. Which cassette melts, the Rick James cassette or the Cameo cassette?
Ooh, wow! How are you gonna hit me with that one? Oh goodness!
I had to.
Oh goodness! I'd have to let Rick go, man. That Cameo, God, yeah. The Cameo has multi-purpose. You know what I'm saying? You can use that for you. That Cameo will get you in the mood. So Rick will be screaming at you, you know, about give it to me, baby. So I'd go with Cameo.
And just so you know, ham is Thanksgiving, not Christmas, because we only eat ham once a year. That is correct, isn't it?
I can have a good ham any time of the year. I don't care if it's 4th of July. I got to fit an anal on that one.
I'm in agreement with that. Absolutely.
All right, my brother. Are you on this Saturday? Because I know it's a lot going on with the draft, but you're on and ready to go, right?
We're on this Saturday. We're going to take the 7th and the 14th off of July for a little summer break, but we'll be plugging away. And I got a bunch of stuff to keep you up on, so we'll talk, man. It was great to meet you, Ashley.
You too.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you.
You got it, brother Paul.
All right, now. The one, the only Ed Smith called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That's my man there, Ashley. So, Ashley, you survived. We had one guest after the next guest. You survived.
I did. I don't know how. I didn't know how long this was going to be. I was not sure of anything. I just kind of went in blinded. Like, I was just, you know, going with the flow.
Well, you blew it out the water big time. I mean, you've done stuff on the four-letter. You've done all this other stuff. So, you know, a big-timer like you, I'm sure you're like going, oh, I got this handled. No sweat. Whatever. This is easy. I could probably get my nails done at the same time that I'm knocking this out. I could run a marathon. And you know what? I can make that ham sandwich at the same time I'm knocking this
out.
Well,
to be honest, I was doing some things at the same time. So I was able to multitask. it's kind of like, it's like the MBA is like, it's honestly like a second language to me.
I hear you. Well, I do appreciate you hopping on. And
of course.
We'll see each other tomorrow. Draft day.
Awesome. I look forward to it. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking, but I'm really excited. It's going to be a good time.
All right. Hey, thanks, and I'll catch up with you mañana.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. That
Bye.
Was Ashley Neville, my co-host for the day. All the way through all that long show, so big props to her. Ed, my man, Fleegs, Dave, Gerald, all called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Maduros, thank you for hosting this draft extravaganza today. We will see how it all breaks down tomorrow. All looking forward to it. I said we get to LeBron and where he would go, but we were so Suns heavy and draft heavy, we didn't get to it. I will say this about LeBron. I think he's very smart to wait and see where the chips are going to fall before he makes up his mind. Paul George, to a lesser degree, the same, because I'm sure he wants to see what's going to happen. But if I am the Spurs, I do not help the Lakers if they're going to get Paul George and they're going to get LeBron. I do not help them with Kawhi Leonard. I do not make that trade. Not going to happen. I just wouldn't do it. Everyone is saying Kawhi has all the leverage. He does not. He is still under contract. Can you get a lot for him now? Possibly. Once the season starts, will you get as much? No. But think about this. If Kawhi comes out and tells every other team he is not going to sign an extension with them, you're screwed anyway. So you can actually force his hand. If he really wants to be a Laker, you can force his hand to take little to nothing, even though you may not get anything back. But here's the problem I see a lot in the NBA. Everyone's always worried about someone walking and not getting anything back. But if you don't want anything that they have to offer you back that they would be willing to give you, then you're better off. Remember, it's always better to not have something you want then I have something you don't want. And if you're the San Antonio Spurs and you don't want Lonzo Ball and you don't think Kuzma's going to turn into that next dude, and the and they're not going to trade Brandon Ingram, if all that stuff's not going to happen, you don't want that stuff, don't take it. Make the Lakers get creative and figure out how they're going to get Kawhi to take a whole lot less money. And I understand he's not one of those dudes that's hung up all on money all the time, but at the same time, he doesn't want to play for $8 million a year. He doesn't want to play for $10 million a year. And if they max out LeBron and they max out Paul George, at that point, the only way they could make it work for him is in a trade. So make them earn it, Spurs. I don't have to tell Popovich this. He's one of the smartest men in the NBA. But I'm not just going to give up on my best player to a team in my conference that's going to make me worse, make them better, make them more competitive, and I'm taking on a bunch of players. Look at Cleveland. They did that. They took on. They got rid of a lot of guys they wanted to move out, but then they got some guys that really necessarily didn't help them as much as they thought after their first initial games. Now, their situation was different because it was midseason. They had to make a move to get up from under that Isaiah Thomas deal. But at the same time, listen, if you don't want Lonzo Ball, don't make that trade. San Antonio is going to start looking a whole lot better if there aren't that many other options out there. And L.A. may not be that option. Remember, San Antonio doesn't have to do anything with Kawhi until the trade deadline right before All-Star game in February. So there's no rush. No rush at all. You know there's going to be some game day trades. We will be all over it. Tomorrow's show will be a best of show. We will not be on as we are preparing for the NBA draft. So like I said, tomorrow is a best of show. But we will be tweeting. We will be getting hard on social media, bringing you everything we can bring you. I will be down at Sunset Quarters myself, ready to go with the first pick, 16th pick, and every other thing in the middle. So make sure you stay with us. You can catch us on social media. So I will have all of that stuff ready to go for you. Like I said, big thanks to my man Ed Smith. Make sure you check his show out, Easy Sports Talk Show on NBC Radio down here in Phoenix. Make sure you follow my man Gerald Bourguet over at Hoops Habit. Dave King, make sure you follow him over at Bright Side of the Sun. Don't forget Kyle Fleeger, Fleegs. Thanks to our buddy Lou for giving a call in. Thanks for that support. Ashley Neville. At Ashley Neville on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you're checking her out. Thank you for co-hosting. All the calls made today were made on the Kerry Law Line. Appreciate everyone. Maduros, thank you for hosting. We're going to be giving away a cigar via social media today, one of their very own house cigars. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. Until next time, everyone, appreciate it. Friday, stay tuned to social media so we can let you know what's happening. The Suns will be introducing their picks, so the schedule for Friday is not set yet. Until next time, this is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Maduros, for hosting us. Everyone, take care. Have a good rest of your day.